This is a good day. Amen. Donnie came in and said, I'm having a good day. He says, I'm sorry, but I'm having a good day. And then he turned around a few minutes later and says, no, I'm not sorry for having a good day. Well, you know, you don't have a bad day. Actually, all of your days are good in the Lord. The key is just to stay tuned in to him. Hold on to his hand. He said he'll uphold you with his righteous right hand. We draw our strength. We find our strength in his grace. Amen. So it's not about how we can hold ourselves up or how headstrong or how, what's the word, how strong-willed we are, but how strong he is. What we need to realize is really we're weaklings apart from him. Even the strongest guy that's out there, you know, is a weakling if he doesn't have Christ. He doesn't have what it takes to overcome. He's basically already lost. He's already lost. So our strength is in weakness. And that doesn't mean weakness in the fact that we can't do anything or that we're helpless. But it just means that we realize that God is my strength. God is the one that will strengthen me. He will sustain me. He will give me victory. It's not about, you know, because sometimes we vacillate between, you know, being humble before God and trusting and receiving grace, and then kind of like, well, I can get it from here. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like our kids sometimes when we're teaching them how to walk or how to do something. Amen. You know, and there's sometimes, oh, that's all right, I can get it, you know. Yeah. And down they go. They're not quite there yet. But we're teaching them, you know, how to walk. And God is doing that with each one of us, isn't he? He's teaching us how to walk. And he allows us to fall on our face because that's the only way sometimes we'll get it. Is that, okay, that didn't work. And I have to realize that didn't work. But this does work. So walk in the way that's working. And the way that's working is in the way of faith and trust in him. How many know that fear is illegal too, right? Because anxiety is a form of fear. So it's illegal. It's not your portion. It's not anything that you have to receive. It's not anything you have to live with. You don't have to tolerate the devil. You don't have to tolerate, amen, sin. You don't have to tolerate anxiety or fear. Worry is another form of it. You don't have to worry, and you don't have to tolerate it. You should not tolerate worry either. When you find yourself worrying, you need to stop and say, wait a minute, this is illegal. And what it is, if you think about it, is really a lack of faith. It's unbelief. When we start worrying, we're saying, well, God, I don't know if God can handle this one. It's true. It's just a daily walk, isn't it? This morning, we've been talking about returning to life, we're talking about revival. We want a Book of Acts revival, but do we have a Book of Acts commitment? We talked about the importance of commitment. Commitment is even when it's not comfortable, even when it doesn't feel good, I have, you know, decided that I'm going to stay committed to this relationship. This relationship with Jesus, amen, is not based upon the weather. It's not based upon how things are going in my life right now. Because I do know that God is with me, God is for me. And God's going to work everything together for my good. That's a promise. He told me he'd never leave me or forsake me. So it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. God is with me. He is for me. He's not against me. He's not against you. So worry is illegal. But in order for us to have that life, you know, we've got to be in a place where we realize that, you know, life does not consist in the things that I own. It doesn't consist in the things that I even do. Because as we mentioned this morning, you can be busy doing things for God and yet not really be in love with God. This is really about being in love with God. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. Amen. It's not about how much did I do for God. It's like how much he did for me and me realizing that and receiving his love for me. I can't love God until I receive His love. I can't love God until I receive His love. You love God when you receive from God. Amen? When you receive Him, you will love Him. So it always comes back to that common denominator. And in every revival throughout history, there's been one common denominator, and that is a hunger, a genuine, authentic hunger for God's presence. We want Him. We don't want stuff. Amen? We want Him. Stuff often will come with Him, you know, stuff that you need. Don't be seeking after things. Seek after God. And He'll take care of the things that you need. Love Him. Greatest commandment, love God. Worship God. Seek God. Walk with God. Abide in God. And everything you need will be taken care of. It'll be added to you. Everything else will come into alignment in your life. But when we shift away from loving God, and now it's about doing for me, doing for others even. We only do for others because of the love of God in our hearts. Amen? Everything has to come from that abiding union with Christ. Revival means to return to life in God. When someone is dead on the operating table, they break out the paddles and they give them a good shock to what? Revive them or to bring them back to life. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us back to life. Come on. There's a lot of hype in the church. There's a lot of stuff that bells and whistles and whatever the programs that everybody likes. And there's a lot of activity in the church. And we talked about the church of Ephesus this morning. That was a vibrant church. Even this city was a vibrant city. It was a center of commerce. And yet the church there, which was really not a organization or a building, but it was the people of God in that city, were in danger of leaving their first love. Actually, they had left their first love, but they were in danger of losing their lampstand. Their light was going out. And God spoke to them and said, you need to remember your former devotion to me. You need to remember where you used to be and where you have fallen from and return. Return to me. Return to that first love. And I asked the question this morning, how many are just as in love or even more in love with Jesus today than you were at the beginning? How many remember the days when you first came to Jesus and, oh, every time the church doors were open, couldn't put the Bible down, couldn't stop praising Him, couldn't stop praying. Now it's like the remote. Well, I can't get away from that show. You know what I'm saying? The enemy has a way of seducing, drawing away from the main thing and say, hey, over here, over here. Jesus said it very clearly in John 15, unless we abide in Him, right? So it's all about abiding in Him. If we don't abide in Him, we don't bear fruit. If a tree does not remain in the right place, in the right conditions, it cannot bear fruit. And a tree does not have to force fruit. It can't force fruit. It just bears fruit because it's a fruit-bearing tree. And the reason why it's bearing fruit is it's because it's planted in the right location. You and I are the planting of the Lord. And God has provided and made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need is in Christ. Everything is freely given in Him. Everything is accessed, amen, by faith. We can come boldly, confidently into the throne of grace and receive everything that we have need of. And to know Him is to love Him. So when we're recipients or receiving God's love, God's grace, then we become loving people. Amen? Not loving with an agenda, but loving because God's in us, loving through us. Amen. There are some people that are loving with an agenda, you know. They'll act like they're just so, they love you so much, but they've got an agenda. They're looking for someone to follow them sometimes, you know. But the love of God says, you know, I want you to know my Jesus. I want to point you to the one I'm talking about here. It's not about me. It's about him. Many have walked away from their call and they've left their first love. Ephesus was a very busy, active church. They had all the programs and everything going on. You know, they were serving the Lord and they didn't give up in their service. They are actually committed. You know, at least to do the church stuff. Thank God for people who are committed. Even to do the church stuff. As a pastor, I thank God for people who are committed to do that. But we cannot lose Jesus in the process of doing these things. Remember, he said, your former devotion. Repent of the present lack of love and devotion. And three, return to do the things characteristic of your earlier devotion to Christ. And again, if you go to Ephesus today, there's nothing but ruins. It's no longer there. God had removed their lampstand. The light went out in Ephesus. Why? Because they did not listen to his voice when he spoke to them. Folks, how many know that God is patient with us? God pleads with us. God does strive with man. He strives with us. But he only strives to a certain point. He'll only do that for so long. You see, some people, they trample on the grace of God. They think, well, I got away with it that time. Or God forgave me that time. You know, God will continue to forgive you. But there comes a time when God takes his hand off and he says, okay, if that's what you want. And we end up eating the fruit of our own doings. And unfortunately for this church, Ephesus, they lost that, what they had. They lost their light. And again, he didn't say, you know, that you lost your first love. He says that you left your first love. Why is it? Because God never stops loving us. But if we leave him, then there are consequences for us choosing, as an act of our will, to go our own way and to forsake him. Now, nobody, you know, decides one day that, you know what, I think I'm just going to forsake God and go my own way. It doesn't happen that way. It's just a slow bleed, you know. You begin to bleed out. You begin to get seduced away, usually by the adversary. And little by little, he just begins to draw you away from fellowship, from prayer, from praise, from fellowshipping with God's people, you know. And then little by little, before you know it, you're just not seeing things as clearly as you used to. And all of a sudden, that hunger even in your heart begins to diminish. And you begin to fill up on other things. And other things begin to choke you. In other words, you become idolatrous. You begin worshiping other gods. Other things start taking the place of him. The pursuit of pleasures. There are those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But the bottom line is there is no greater pleasure than the pleasure of God. How can you know, God's pleasure is so far beyond anything the world can give us. But what the enemy does is he tries to seduce you away. And the more that you get away from the light, the darker things come in your world. And when you get into that gray area or that dark area, all of a sudden you don't even remember or realize what you're missing out on. How many know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, you come in and the glory of God is in a place and you're just like, oh yeah. You even forgot what you were missing. And you know what? There's people that should be here tonight that are missing out. And sometimes it's because they have drifted, and if they drift, you drift into a darkness. Your eyes become blinded. And other things begin to choke you. You begin to make other gods out of things. And God is jealous of us. He's a jealous God. And you know what? He has every right to be. He created us. He made us. Not only that, but Jesus suffered and died for us. He paid such a price for our soul. God, you know, he's jealously in love with us. He doesn't want us to prostitute ourselves with the world. He doesn't want us giving ourselves to other lovers. And so remember where you were. Remember that time when you were infatuated, when you were passionate for Jesus, and where you just couldn't get enough. And you couldn't wait when they said, "Oh, let us go up into the house of the Lord." And I was glad when they said, "Let us go." Now, most of you, because you're here tonight, right? It's because you do have a love for God. You know, but I'm reminded myself, I think about, you know, God, and I say, am I where I should be today? I had somebody come to me afterwards, and she said this morning, she says, "You know, I'm not where I should be, and I know it." Thank God for that. Thank God for the awareness that I'm not where I should be. You know, that's his love, to say, "Hey, you're not where you're supposed to be." And why is that? And it's not just because God is jealous. His jealousy is a result of his love. He loves you so much that he doesn't want to lose you. He doesn't want to lose your affection. He doesn't want to lose your relationship with him. Amen? Because it's not that he's given up on you. He's waiting on us. And sometimes we're just totally disregarding him. I see folks that they're on fire for Jesus. They're coming regularly. You know, they're involved in, they just want to serve. They just want to love. Why? Because they're just so in love with God, so in love with the Lord. And then things begin to happen in their lives, and something disrupts things, and they get a little, maybe a little discouraged, or, you know, sometimes they get offended. Somebody hurts their feelings, you know, and they begin to pick up an offense. And all these things, they can just start to accumulate and start to choke out the life of God in you. And then you start to feel like, well, I don't even know if I even want to go anymore. And the next thing it starts coming out of your mouth is negativity. And there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church anyways. And why bother? I mean, people that you would never expect to say such things are now speaking against even the things of God. And there are people who have died in a place where they denied God. At one time, they were in pulpits preaching the very Jesus, amen, that now they're denying. It happens, folks. There is a such thing in the Bible as apostasy, of falling away and being lost. And so God tells Ephesus here, you guys need to remember where you were. Get back to that place. Why? Because he's not going to be blasphemed. He's not going to let his name be muddied. And so he says, I'll just remove your lampstand, because otherwise you're claiming to be this. You're claiming to be first church of whatever, and, you know, and being a light in the community. And yet you're actually dead. And instead of being a witness and bringing glory to God, you're actually bringing a stench, because they're saying, phew, I don't want to be that dead crowd. Come on. Come on, you walk into some places, it's like, man, it's death in this place. Take the sign, you know, living waters off. Take it down. Take Pentecostal off your name. Come on. Don't be putting those names up there unless that's the reality on the inside. Otherwise, people come in and say, so this is what it's like. No, thank you. We need to be contagious Christians. We need to be so in love with Jesus, so on fire for Jesus, that they see the light in us and they say, you know what? I want what you want, what you have. Yeah. In Psalms 42, verse 1, David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, verse 4, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go. Everybody say, used to go. With the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking with himself. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And now it begins to shift out, you see, out of the pit, where there's hope here. You know, you can hear the voice of David as he wandered in the wilderness, you know, as he was, you know, in exile, really, during the rebellion of his son Absalom, who had rose up against him. Others see this as the voice of Jesus, you know, during his time of rejection and suffering. And you know that David is a type of Jesus, right? But it also applies to us, folks, as we look back on the days of our first love. And we long for the renewal of that kind of fellowship with the Lord. Psalm 63, when David was in the wilderness of Judah, he said, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Are we not experiencing the life, the real life tonight as we praise God? My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. By the way, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And if you're here tonight, and you're not always coming to church, you're not always able to make it to church, God knows that. It's between you and God, all right? Hallelujah. Amen? But just be faithful to do what he tells you to do. How many know that we need to be together? Yes. This morning it was great because most of our folks were here. A few were missing, but most of our folks were here. And you know what? God really honored the worship. Did he not? He really poured out his glory upon us. And he's pouring out his spirit even now, tonight as well. But this morning was amazing. And you know, there was a unity of heart. There was a concerted joining together, if you will, to seek the Lord, to praise his name. How many know that praise is audible? Yes. Praise comes from the heart. Hallelujah. It's not just giving God. It's not just mouthing a song. It's loving God. It's seeking, pursuing his presence. We are contending, if you will, for his presence. We don't want to just get together and do the church thing. We want his presence. We want God to show up. Say amen, make me feel good. We want God to show up, because if we don't have his presence, what are we doing? So there needs to be a thirst for God before you will experience life in God. People don't have life in God because there's no thirst for God. And the reason why there's no thirst for God is because of idolatry, usually. Because there are other things choking us, taking the place of that love that belongs to him. And so the enemy is trying to get you to spend yourself here and spend yourself there and waste your life here, waste your life there, waste it on vain living, you know, on just entertainment and quick fixes and just, you know, things that, hey, in 100 years from now, is it going to matter? How many know that whatever you sow right now in love for God and sow into his kingdom is eternal? Serving God. The benefits are out of this world. If we don't have a hunger for God, then we will become stagnant and ineffective in advancing the kingdom. Now, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, this is right after he was talking about offenses that would come. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast you from you. It's better for you to go into life without the eye, amen, than to have the eye or to be whole and go into hell. And then right after that, he says something interesting, and it's almost like, how does that fit? But I want you to look at this chapter 9 of Mark and verse 49. For everyone, not just some, but everyone, will be seasoned with fire. And every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. What does salt do? It adds flavor, right? Yes. Salt is a preservative. It preserves from corruption. Salt also creates thirst. Amen? Ever eat something salty and it makes you thirsty? That's why they want to sell you those big drinks at the movie theater, right? And they put a lot of salt in your popcorn. So you go for the big drinks, which are way overpriced. They want to make you thirsty. And so this can be good in the sense that if we are seasoned with grace, His grace, amen, then we will have a good flavor. We will be tasty. We will be attractive. We will add flavor, right? Wherever we go, we will be a sweet savor if we have grace in us. We will also have a preserving effect. We will be pro-life. And how many know I'm not talking about just abortion? Amen? Amen. We will be pro-life, period. We're for life. But if we have salt in ourselves, we'll also create thirst in others. And if you have salt in yourself, it will continually keep you thirsty for more. How many have realized that in order for to have an appetite for the things of God, you need to be tasting of the things of God? To have an appetite for Him, you must taste and see that the Lord is good. Because tasting will create thirst. It will create hunger for more. But if we begin to fill up, once again, I've used this a lot, but if we begin to fill up on other things, we will have a false sense of satisfaction. We will think that we're satisfied when we're actually starving ourselves. You can die of malnutrition if you eat the wrong stuff. And you continually, you feel full, but your body is actually starving. And that's what the world is like. It gives you a false sense of satisfaction, but you're actually dying. It's a slow bleed. Your life is being sucked out of you. And because you're filling up on the wrong things, now you have acquired a taste for something that will not, right, satisfy you. So what we've got to do is we need to say, wait a minute. Where am I going? Where is my love at here? What have I given myself to? What do I spend my time thinking on? What do I spend my time doing? Who is the greatest love in my life? And return to Him. And you know you're going to have to starve yourself from the things that you used to do. Amen? Even though it's tempting you, you need to say no. Period. You have self-control in the Lord. Amen? You have that control. You can't say, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. So it's a matter of you making the decision that it's not worth going back into. Why? Because it's only going to lead to death. It's going to starve me and it's going to rob me from the eternal riches and of Him who really loves me and really satisfies me. Of my first love in God, my zeal, my passion for Jesus. Where I'm just, my world revolves around Jesus. When you first met your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, and you were so infatuated and night and day you thought about each other and you say, oh, when can I be with them again? Do you hear the heart of the psalmist saying the same thing? When can I be with my God? When can I just shut myself in with Jesus? Amen. And spend time with Jesus. In love with Jesus. Worshiping Jesus. Enjoying Jesus. I just want to be with you. Where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. Surrounded by your glory, your goodness. Satisfied in your faithfulness. Amen. You only satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. God's presence is that sweet savor, that preserving force. God's presence is what creates thirst for more of Him. And folks, unless we have this thirst, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. If we don't have that, then we're not going to be filled with the life of God. We're not going to be in personal revival. And if we as individuals are not in personal revival, we will not have corporate revival, folks. That's how it works. It works with the individual, each member of God's body, amen, staying connected to the head, drinking from the life of God. You and I are called the salt of the earth. And that means we are to have a purifying effect. Come on, people ought to just get convicted when we come in the room. They should not be comfortable hanging around us if we're really walking in the light, and they don't want to walk in the light. Amen. Come on, I used to be around those weird people, you know, and they used to make me very uncomfortable. When you're living in darkness, you know, you don't want to be around the light. And you know what happens sometimes, folks, is people actually, they learn how to fake it really good when they get around other Christians, you know, because in their heart, they know I'm not really where I need to be, but I don't want them to know that. So I just act like a Christian. I act like I'm really on fire for God. Come on. We've all been there, haven't we, Bill? I don't want people to know that I'm having a problem, so I just act like everything's fine. You know what? It should be safe enough in this place for somebody to say, I don't have it all together. I need some help. Would you pray with me? Right. Remember me in your prayers. Let's get together. If you need something dealt with in your life, maybe you need some deliverance. Go for it. Don't hang on to it. Don't try to take it all on yourself. Sometimes, you know, you need your brothers and sisters that come around you and to help you through. Humble yourself and let God do the work. It's not too late. Today is a new day, a new beginning. Salt without saltiness is valueless. It's without value. And you know, Jesus said, if you lose your savor, if you lose your saltiness, He said, how can salt be made salty again? Do you understand? Ephesus, again, was a church that was salty at one time. It had salt. I mean, you know, salt really represents the presence of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were always to be seasoned with salt. It's talking of the grace of God. The Bible says in the New Testament, let your conversation always be seasoned with salt or grace. It was talking about salt, grace. So we know that without the grace, amen, we don't have any influence. And if we don't have the grace of God in us, and if we allow ourselves to go long enough, then what happens is instead of bringing glory to God, we bring reproach upon the name of Christ. And Ephesus was in danger of that happening, and God was giving them warning and saying, don't allow this to happen, because if you do, I'm going to just take your lampstand away. It's better for you not to exist than to exist and be faking it because the world sees the hypocrisy. All right, so in Psalms 84, it says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. He says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. In other words, worship requires your entire being. Yeah. How many know you got to engage your flesh too, right? and worship. The flesh needs to come under subjection, that part of you. And the spirit says, give God praise, and the flesh says, I don't want to do that. And so David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He spoke to the soulish part of himself. He said, bless the Lord. Give him praise. Give him glory. Amen. And all that is within me. All that is within me. Something good happens when we give praise with all that's within us. Why? Because we're giving God the whole offering. David says, I will worship him in the dance. Let us sing praises unto him with the timbrel in the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. So we can dance. We can sing. We can shout. We can rejoice. We can put our entire body, soul, and spirit into worship of our God. Yeah, we can always make excuses for that. Well, I'm just not that kind of person. I've seen a lot of not that kind of persons become that kind of person. I was one of those not kind of persons, you know. Well, when God gets a hold of you, or you let him get a hold of you, and you do what is right, not what you feel like, then God honors that. That's faith. Amen. That's trust. That's obedience. It's called a sacrifice of praise. I will give a sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like it. Then it becomes a sacrifice of praise. And what became what started out as a sacrifice became a joy of my heart. It's like I'm really enjoying Jesus. Friday night, we came here for prayer. And, I was feeling a little bit kind of stifled, heavy, maybe a little bit pressed down when we came in. Anybody else that came Friday night? I don't know. And we kind of came in. But we decided, you know what? We're not going to tolerate that. And we began to press into God, to press in, to begin to praise, to begin to exalt Jesus, to begin to lift him up in this place, to audibly begin to cry out, to call upon the name of the Lord. And as we did, there was a breaking off of that heaviness. You see, you can come and you can go the same way. But how many know you don't have to wait to get to church? You can praise the Lord in your car, in Walmart, wherever you are. You can praise God and walk in that. Keep the devil off you by praising God. He can't deal with praise. I can't say it enough times, folks. We need to praise God. Praise is audible. Praise is from the heart. Praise sometimes involves, again, you can express your praise with dance. Put your whole body. There's been times when what has taken for somebody to get that monkey off their back and to get the oppression off is to get up here, maybe grab a banner and begin to just dance and worship the Lord. But do something. Get out of your seat and move from where you're at. Get out of that place. Move. Sometimes I get up and I like to walk. I prayer walk. I like to walk because, you know, I don't know. It's something about moving for me. People say, man, we can't keep our eyes on you. You're always like, but that's me. And there are some people that can stay in one spot and, you know, use the pastoral etiquette or whatever, the pulpit etiquette where you're like here. And then you step to the side and then you come back over and yeah. But God came to restore you to who you truly are. Made in his image. A son and daughter. That's who we are. Well, you know, we've enjoyed the Lord in this moment, this time we've had together today. It's been a really good day. I want to encourage each one of us to remember this. Amen. This time, this place. Remember what you heard today. Take it to heart. It's a new day, and a new day means a new beginning. It means a fresh start. Forget what's happened yesterday. It's a new day. Yesterday's gone, It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Make a fresh start today and pursue God. And if you're away from Him in your heart, yeah, you might be able to do all the stuff that is expected, but if you're way in your heart, you know, Jesus even spoke to the Pharisees of that day. He said, you know, they show much love with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let's not be the people who show love with our lips only, but we want our hearts to be near God, amen, to be after Him. To really love God is what it's all about. That is the greatest commandment. And so if you've got to get rid of some filler food, you got to get rid of some stuff that is distracting you and choking you because you've acquired a taste for something that's actually starving you, repent. Amen. Forsake it. Turn back to God and start whetting your appetite once again for the things of God. Start getting into the Word. Amen. Spend time in this book right here. And God will begin to speak to you. He'll begin to whet your appetite. And all of a sudden you'll find God speaking to you and bringing you on journeys and showing you things that you never knew before. And then this it begins to stir something within your heart as you pray and you seek His face. The Bible says to stir up the gift of God that's within you. Stir it up. Shout to the Lord if you have to. Dance before the Lord if you have to. Stir it up. Shake yourself. When Samson knew the Philistines were coming, he shook himself and he was ready for action. You see, the same thing is true spiritually. We need to shake ourselves out of it. Don't allow apathy. It's illegal. Complacency is illegal for Christians. Amen. We want the zeal of the Lord, the love of God to consume us. We want to be passionately in love with Jesus. We want to be motivated, constrained, motivated by the love of God so that we can get the job done. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.